Welcome back here with Dave on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Real estate is a topic that comes up often in conversations with clients, and for various reasons. It could be as a legacy asset. It could be people want to draw equity on it. They could use that for healthcare costs. They might be downsizing. Oh, a whole bunch of things. But this baby boom demographic has undoubtedly shaped the real estate market as they were having families and growing, and now they're getting older and likely reshaping it again. So let's just take a look at that and see what impacts this transition of that baby boom demographic is having on the real estate market. We've got a terrific guest going to help us put a little perspective to this. Murtaza Haider. He's a professor, real estate management at Ryerson University. Murtaza, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so we got a lot of sort of a big topic to cover in a relatively short period of time, but I'm interested maybe just at a high level if you can comment on what you're seeing in the real estate market. How are the demographics, this baby boom generation, and even those behind it, how are they changing the real estate market in Canada?
So in a recent column in the Financial Post, what we analyzed is we looked at as the baby boomers age and the older baby boomers are retiring and the bulk is still going to retire in the future, our goal was to see how this would impact the housing markets. And we are of the view that there are several interesting concepts and trends that we observe. First is the age-in-place concept. That is, that the survey done by Statistics Canada asking the young seniors and older seniors about their future housing needs and how they see them evolving. It turns out that many, if not most, preferred aging in place. That is, to continue living in the houses they owned or they lived in neighborhoods that they are most familiar with. And then when they were asked about their future needs, when they would retire, would they be moving into smaller units, downsizing? And it appears that aging in place was still continues to be the dominant characteristics. The other thing which was very interesting is that most young and old seniors, around 80% of those, reported owning their homes. So you have two big trends. Home ownership is dominant in seniors, and also their future housing needs are characterized by aging in place. So these two were the big trends. So what does it mean? Does it mean that people would soon be looking for retirement homes? And the answer to this is not in the near future. The baby boomers are likely to increase the demand for such housing, but not up until maybe 2030 or so, when the bulk will retire and would have reached a stage where they would need assisted housing. So right. In the near future, there's not going to be much demand for much higher demand for assisted housing. It would continue to be the case of aging in place.
I guess I'm not surprised. Anecdotally, when we speak to people in Calgary and clients, we don't see a lot of people making that transition. So I suppose I'm not surprised by that. It is an interesting potential problem from a development perspective. If we're going to have this massive flood at some point where people just get beyond the ability where it's maybe not safe to stay in their home, will there be residences available at that time? I'm interested to know if the sort of the research looked at that particular problem or potential problem.
So our demographics are very similar to those that are in the United States, and the trends there are also very similar. And the forecast that we saw for the United States, which we believe apply to a very large extent to Canada, mm-hmm. is that this flux of or the higher demand for assisted housing is going to be in the late 2020s or early 2030s. So we do have about a decade to plan for such an outcome when a large number of baby boomers would have retired and reached a stage where they would need assisted housing. But that doesn't mean that they would actually would like to be in dedicated housing units where they would need care. And yeah. I think the criteria that the Statistics Canada have used in the past is that if you need maybe 90 minutes of care or more, then you're in one category. And if you need fewer than 90 minutes of care, then you are sort of in an independent living category. So I think that the demand would still be in the independent living category, that there is some sort of communal meals and you're able to live on your own. So it's not that kind of the end of life kind of a housing demand that you would see in 2030s. But at the same time, if you fast forward to 2030, a large number of seniors who would then move out of their residences to some sort of more a lifestyle that would facilitate their health and living conditions, when they would leave those big homes, they would increase the supply of larger homes. And at that moment, around late 2020s and early 2030s, you would see a supply of larger homes, which would then be very good for the older millennials, because at that time, 2030s, the older millennials would have their children, mm-hmm. and they will be looking actively for places to grow their own families and raise their own children. So this all seems to be in step. So not changing drastically the housing supply and demand. We just have to be mindful of the slight changes that will appear in a decade or so.
Yeah, that's an interesting sort of timeline that you've laid forward. The other thing that people often assume is this notion of downsizing for people. And clearly your research is saying that people aren't downsizing, they're not leaving the homes that they've raised
their
family.
Yeah, so the empty nester syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So there used to be a lot of talk about it about 20 years ago, that seniors, as soon as they will retire, will be empty nesters. The kids would have left the university and beyond, and they would then decide, okay, that's it. We're going to pack up and we're going to sell the big house and move into a condominium sometime somewhere near downtown. That has not happened to that extent. And initially, it started off, but then people realized that downtown, especially downtowns in Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal, are pretty noisy places. And it's not maybe in line with the lifestyle that the seniors were used to. So going forward, this downsizing, I think, will be necessitated by health conditions rather than by lifestyle conditions. So it wouldn't be like, we are empty nesters, let's do something interesting, move to somewhere else, downsize. But it would be necessitated by health-related conditions, where you say you have to move to your facility where there is some sort of assistance available in terms of communal meals and some upkeep and maintenance of the units. That empty nester syndrome did not end up creating that demand of smaller units that many speculated 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I mean, there'll be lots of people sort of listening to this and nodding their heads and say, that's me. I'm not moving out of my place. And it's interesting how many people from a financial planning perspective often cite the equity in their homes, taking the equity homes on a downsize as a potential source of lifestyle capital. And to your point, we haven't seen that. And quite frankly, those that do change homes, they call it downsizing, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a lower priced or a lower valued property. It might be something smaller and more manageable, but it could be in a neighborhood that's superior to where they at. So we haven't seen that assumption play out the way it's been proposed either. One last thing. We've got maybe a minute and a half or so. Murtaza, I'm interested for people that are thinking through this right now. What should baby boomers be thinking about realistically when they're looking at their housing situation over the next 10 or 15 years?
I think the baby boomers must realize that, unlike the previous generations, they are healthier than the seniors in the past. So they, fortunately, will be seniors, but seniors for a very long time. And as they look at these trade-offs between selling and renting and scaling down making similar decisions, they have to realize that the decisions they will make now will have an impact over a decade or more, because they will be seniors for a very long time. So they should be mindful of the fact that their decisions have a very long-term impact. And as they do these trade-offs, or if they're trying to build some spreadsheets, trying to figure out the balance between, the trade-off between renting and owning, they should realize that they may be able to take the equity out of their homes, but then we are planning for 20 years. And if you look around and you look at other investment opportunities and look at the interest rates right now, other investments are not giving the kind of returns that people were used to getting 20, 30, 40 years ago. So they have to be very careful in making these decisions.
Well, we have to leave it there. Murtaza, thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure. Take care.
We've been joined by Murtaza Haider, who is a professor at real estate management at Ryerson University, and there's some food for thought for sure. I want to remind everybody that the lifestyle plan goes well beyond just stocks and bonds. So we're going to talk about that lifestyle plan and how to incorporate these sort of big picture decisions into what your lifestyle is going to look like and how to finance that through the through that long period of time that Murtaza had referred to. And that's going to take place at our next seminar coming up Tuesday, August the 20th, 7 o'clock at the Carriage House Inn. Give us a call at 966-8400 or go to pkag.ca if you'd like to register for that. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money. You're on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.